The title of this discourse, by the help of the Lord, will be Calling an Election Sure. Yes. Calling an Election Sure. And we want to focus on calling. We want to focus on election. And we definitely want to focus on sure. The text scripture, if you'll turn with me, will be found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and then verse number 10. You beat me there. Go ahead and read it for us. I desire your prayers this morning. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. All right, and so what we're talking about is making our calling and our election sure. We are all called to live for the Lord. All right, I want to make that distinction this morning. Sometime it seemed like we, in our minds and in our hearts, we realize that the minister and the pastor, they're called, and the deacon and the spiritual leader, so to speak, they're called. But according to the word of God, we all have a calling. I'll prove it to you this morning. We all have a calling to live for the Lord, to give our hearts to him, to give our lives to him. And if we'll do that, we can make our calling and our election sure. We can guarantee, so to speak, that we can make heaven our home. And so may the Lord help us to realize that we are called to live for the Lord in a way that be pleasing and honoring unto him. And if we'll do that, we'll be blessed in the end. May the Lord help us. Calling is defined as a strong urge towards a particular, I want you to pay attention here, a particular way of life, a profession or occupation. Want to talk about this morning. You and I, if we're going to be children of God, we cannot pick up and put down our salvation at our leisure. May the Lord help us. Some people have put their salvation down and they haven't picked it up yet, because that's not how we can do it. If you're called to live for the Lord, it's a profession. May the Lord help us. It's a possession. May the Lord help us. It's a way of life. It's an everyday thing, and it's not something that we can put down and pick up whenever we feel like it. May the Lord help us. It says way of life. It says profession. Profession is something that we say with our mouth. We confess with our lips. We are the children of the Most High God. And so when we say that, our occupation is to be, by the help of the Lord, pray for us this morning. We are to every day live in a way that be pleasing and honoring unto God, that supports what we have said. If I say I'm a child of God, then I better be walking in his statutes. I better believe on his word. I better be living by his standards, by the grace and help of God. We're talking about calling and election. Sure, we don't want to get to the gates and the Lord say, not only did I not know you, but I never knew you. May the Lord help us this morning. We want to make our calling, our election sure. We want our way of life, the way that we live, if we're living as Christians, what comes out of our mouth. Do you know that the Bible says that profane things and righteous things, they can't be coming out of the same mouth. If we got something coming out of our mouth that we shouldn't, we need to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, help me with my mouth, Lord, because I want to talk like a Christian. I want to walk like a Christian. I want to live like a Christian. Somebody look at me, they'll say everything they do is Christ-like. That's what God is wanting. We're talking about calling and election. Sure, that's what we're called to do. The way we live, our occupation and our profession, they need to be in agreement by the help of the Lord. And God will help us do that. May the Lord help us this morning. All right, so we have a calling. Go to Matthew 22 and 14 and read that for us. I want to talk about that calling. I'm not going to get all of it, but I want you to get the gist of it. Matthew 22, verse number 14, what does it say? Many are called. few are chosen. And so this is when, remember, we preached on myself and Brother Tavis in time past. We preached about the wedding feast, and there were those that were called, and they began to make excuses, each one. One of them talked about, I married somebody. I pray have me excused. Then another one said, I bought a piece of property. Pray have me excused. And so there will always be excuses, but it's not because God hadn't called us. It's because we hadn't answered the call. And so may the Lord help us when God called us to answer the call by the grace and help of God. Many are called, few are chosen. He's calling you. He's calling me. He has called all of us to live for him. I want you to think about this. Those people that you think are spiritual, those people that you think are called to leadership, how do you think they got there if they didn't answer the call? And so you and I, when God called upon our heart, the first call we need to answer is the call to salvation. Lord, I give my heart to you. Lord, I give my life to you. Use it as you want to. The reason why I sing that song so much, or call that song, song number 93, is because that's everyone. That's our duty in life. Wherever my Savior hand may lead, whatever my lot may be, I'll not murmur. I won't repine. I know it's well with me. And so that's what we do. We give our hearts to him. We give our lives to him. He gets to use us how he wants to. And in the end, just like the scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, it says, if you do these things, you'll never fall. We're going to talk about how to live so we can live pleasing and honoring unto God, so we can make heaven our home. May the Lord help us this morning. I want you to read 1 Peter 2 and 9. If you have that, read that for us, please. It's something that's important for us to know. Go ahead. Be a chosen, generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Show forth the praises of him. Pay special attention there. Called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. You and I are called out of the darkness of sin, out of the darkness of self, out of the darkness of the world into the marvelous light. Part of the call, when you're called to salvation, is you come out from among them, the wickedness, the uncleanness, the unrighteous. We don't do that anymore. We're called to live holy and righteously in this present world by the grace and help of God. I acknowledge to you this morning that you can't do it without God, but according to God, with God all things are possible. With God, with him and through him, we can do it. And so when he called us, he not only called us to salvation, but he called us to righteous living by the grace and help of God. You don't have to overcomplicate it. If it's right, then do that. If it's wrong, don't do that. It's not rocket science. We think it's something so deep and mysterious. You know what is right. Bible says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so if I know better, then I got to do better by the grace and help of God. And this is what we're called to. This is how you stay away from unsure about whether I'm going to make it in or not. I want an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. And so for me to have that, I've got to endeavor to live righteously and godly in this present world. May the Lord help us this morning. So he's calling each one of us. Not just a minister, not just a pastor, not just a deacon, but he's calling us all. And we are all called. We got to answer that call by the help of the Lord, and the Lord will help us to do that. I want to talk about election. The election we think about, I'm just briefly going to talk about that, but what do we think about when we talk about an election, right? What do we think about? It's a V word. We vote, right? We vote. So we're called and we're elected to be children of the Most High God. And what I want us to think about in terms of an election is God chose you and he has elected you. He's saying, my vote is for Brother Henry. My vote is for Brother Tavis or Sister so-and-so. His vote is for you. He believes that with his help, you can be successful. His vote is for you. All right, and so what we have to do is we have to understand that and we have to acknowledge that and live in that truth by the grace and help of God. We have a world that we're living in that tells you that you cannot do it. I want you to go to Titus 2, verse number 11 and verse number 12. The going narrative, if you're not careful, is going to be something along the lines of sin you must, sin you can't help, and sin more or less every day. That's what the growing narrative is. But by the grace of God, I wanted you to be encouraged this morning that God believes that with his help, you can live free from sin. May the Lord help us this morning. Titus 2, verse number 11 on down through verse number 12. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, things are not like God, things that are unrighteous, things are not going to make it into heaven. We deny that. We stand against that. We don't want anything to do with that by the grace and help of God. Remember, it says, by the grace of God. It started off with God's grace. Everyone wants to tell you that God's grace can cover your sins. That's not the only thing that grace can do. Grace can help you to live free from sin. Grace can help you to stop sinning. If God's grace is so powerful, then how come it can't help me to do right? May the Lord help us. I know that it can. May God help us this morning. Read on, please. Denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. May the Lord help us this morning. That's good enough right there. God is calling us to something better. All right, if you're saved and you're no different than what you were before you got saved, number one, are you really saved? If you're not, you need to find an altar of prayer and do your first words over again. May the Lord help us. And if you are saved and you got some areas that you need to clean up, according to this this scripture, it says, teaching us that in denying ungodliness, if there's something that I have an affinity for, that I am involved in, that is ungodly, I am to deny that thing. I don't want it. In other words, the Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. And so you don't accept that thing. One of the temptations that many people get caught up in is, I can't do any better. I'm doing the best I can. Then try Jesus then. Ask God to help you to do better. You will do better by the grace and help of God. May the Lord help us. And so if there's something in your life, denying ungodliness, worldly lust, the world is very strong in its appeal. Lord, help us to say no to the worldly lust. We don't have to fall into, and I'm not just talking about sexual deviance or anything like that. I'm talking about worldly lust and all that it entails. I don't want nothing to do with it. Why? Because I want that abundant interest. I don't want to come to the gates and Lord says, no, you don't have it. May the Lord help us this morning. I want to get there. And he says, I know you. Come on in. We just got finished talking while you was on that side. And I called you home. I want God to call me home. I don't want my life just to end. I want him to call me home. May the Lord help us this morning. And we can't do it if we're not living right by the help of the Lord. So denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And I want to talk about soberly for a minute. Some of this has to do a lot with what we put in our bodies. All right, maybe alcohol, drugs, things of those nature. How can you serve God when you are not in your right mind? All right, you can't do it. But it's more than that. Sometimes we can be drunk on other things other than alcohol and drugs. There are other things that are intoxicating that will get a hold of our hearts and our minds and make it impossible to live like God wants us to live. All right, and so we ask God to help us. Those things that would hinder me from living righteously and godly in this present world, Lord, put your finger on that. And then, Lord, when you put your finger on that, Lord, help my heart to say amen to your will. May the Lord help us. But if we hold on to those things, how can we progress like the Lord wants us to? May God help us. Soberness is more than just not doing drugs, alcohol, but it's what is coming into my spiritual man, into my spiritual mind, that would intoxicate and would pull me away from serving and pleasing God like you want to. May the Lord help us this morning. Getting a little close this morning. It says soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We want to be like Christ. If we're going to be Christians, we're going to have to be like Jesus, y'all. We're going to have to be like him, and it's going to be done with his help, and we can't do it without it. May the Lord help us this morning. All right, so once we have accepted God's calling and election in our lives, we have a job to resist and deny and not participate in any unrighteous and unclean things. This is how we make sure. Remember, it says calling and election sure. This is how you make sure. If all you do is right and what you don't do is wrong, you're only doing that by God's help anyway. This is how you make your calling and election sure. All right, so moving forward, there's some other don't do's. The worldly lust, and we talked about that. We talked about what is perverse. We haven't talked about what is perverse. I want to bring that word in. Perverse is nothing more than something that is away from God, or what is away from is what is right. There are things that are not spiritually illegal to do that can be perverse for you. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to help you to know what it is that you need to do and what it is that you don't need to do. You can do things, for example, for myself, for me to get overly involved in what's going on in the NBA. I'm not telling you, you can't know what's going on in the NBA. I'm not saying that. I know what's going on in the NBA, but there I have a propensity and a weakness where I can get overly involved in those things, and then guess what? The things of God start taking a hit. My prayer life start taking a hit. My reading start taking a hit. My meditating, my communion. You see what I'm saying? And so I had to learn that thing is way less important than living for the Lord and being pleasing and honoring unto God. And so it's not something that's spiritually illegal to do, but I need to understand, for me, this is something that could be a problem. And so when the Lord said, deal with this, I said, yes, Lord, because really, I'm trying to get into your kingdom, Lord. I'm trying to get where you are, Lord. And you see something that could hinder me, and so I've got to be careful in these areas. And God will help us to know exactly what it is that would cause us to turn away from God. Perverse means turn away from what is right, righteous, and good. Good is defined by God. And so we need to be careful about perversion, things that are, and we all know about what's perverse in terms of the other way, and we talked about that earlier, but there are more things than just what is wicked and obviously wrong that can be perverse for us. We need to be careful in these areas by the grace and help of God. All right. So we want to live right, want to do right. Did we read down? We didn't read. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, righteously and godly. We read that already. All right. It says in verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Only way that God's appearing is going to be glorious to me and to you. Only way that we're not going to be crying for the rocks and the mountains to hide us from his face is if we're doing these types of things. If we're living right, then when he comes and we see him, we say, come on, Lord, we've been waiting on you all this time. We're ready to go. But if we haven't been doing what we should, then it's a whole different story. The Bible says that people are going to be crying for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from his face. So may the Lord help us. May the Lord stand by and be with us this morning. We want to make our calling and our election sure, and we want to be thinking. Sober means to think clearly, rationally, sensibly, and so anything that would hinder that, then we need to be careful about what it is that we're doing and how we're doing it. And God will help us to know exactly what we need to do, and he's faithful in that way. All right, now, be careful about our own form of righteousness. I'm going to spend a little time with this. The Bible says, having a form of godliness, get that scripture, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so it is possible to have my version of what is required. I've come up with a set of rules, a set of ideas, a set of a way of living that now I'm living in this way and I feel good about myself, but it's not measuring up to what the Bible says. All right. And this is a huge trick of the enemy. All right. Because we have to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Righteousness is defined by God. It's defined by the Word of God. It doesn't give me or allow me my version of it. It either is or isn't according to what God has said. All right. And so what we have to do is, by the help of the Lord, is we have to see where we are and then see where God is and come to him. He's not going to come to us in terms of what is righteous. He's unwavering on what is righteous. Because I'll tell you what, if I can do a little sin and you can do a little sin and somebody else can do a little sin, we'll be full of sin, all of us. May the Lord help us. But if God stays where he is and he says, this is what is right, you come to me and we come to him, then we will be righteous and pleasing and honoring in his sight. And so what I want you to understand is may the Lord help us. We can't have our own righteousness. We don't have any righteousness of our own. We have to be found in his righteousness. There's a scripture that says that too. What's that scripture? Perilous times shall come, dangerous times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. All right, covetous, boasters, what?
Proud.
Blasphemers.
Disobedience
to parents. Unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection. Truth breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. And think about that. Despisers of those that are good. Go ahead.
What?
Haters. Head high-minded.
Traitors.
Heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. We talked about that. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. All right. So, there are whole movements that are based on this. Now, I don't know exactly if these movements know that that's what they're doing. But if I as a church, if we as a church, we say, you know what? People want to do this and people want to do that. And so what we'll do is we'll just change what the Bible says and we'll allow, we won't preach against this. We won't preach against that because we want the numbers. We want people to come in and I'll pat you on your back and you pat me on my back and we'll all feel good about it. You see what I'm saying? This is what's happening in the world today. This is what's happening. And so people are being led astray, some knowingly and some not knowingly. But either way, they're being led astray from God. And in the judgment, they're going to have to deal with what it is that what we're talking about this morning. Lord, help us. I ain't got no heaven to go to. It's his heaven. It's his way. It's so therefore it's his righteousness that I've got to be a part of. May the Lord help us this morning. And so we can't lower, we can't change things. We can't make things different. If this is what the word of God says, then by the help of the Lord, we are to rightly divide the word of truth, to live and die by what he has given us. If we don't do that, then how can we make it in? Because what we're going to do is we're going to show up looking like something we made rather than something he made.
Right.
May the Lord help us.
Yes.
I want you to know that God loves us.
Yes.
And he's willing and able and ready to help us. But we've got to come his way. And this is why I encourage, and you pray for me, because I believe in this. I believe in what's called the remedial plan. I haven't talked about that in a while, but I still believe in it. It's going to take something to get to heaven. And so as soon as you become aware of the fact that you need God and you need him in a serious way, you want to make it into his heaven, the sooner you understand that, the sooner you bow down on your knees and make your relationship with God, that's the best thing you could possibly do. Because it might take a little while for you to get to where he wants you to be in this life. Because we grow as we go and we go as we grow. It's a learning way. I got to unlearn all that garbage, and then I got to learn his way, and then I got to learn how to not to lean on my own understanding. Got to lean on, it's a whole thing. And so the moment you become aware that you need the Lord, it is better for you to bow down at an altar of prayer and don't get up until you got him. May the Lord help us this morning. That's the way. That's the way. And you don't leave things to chance. You don't leave things to calling an election sure. When you're sure about something, you know it. You're not confused about it. May the Lord help us this morning. Ephesians 5:1. I'll read it there. It says, "Be ye therefore fathers of God as dear children." Listen to me. A dear child is obedient. They are respectful. They love their parents. These are the attributes of a dear child. They're not looking how little they can do and get away with it. They want to get into that extra credit. Lord, what can I do, Lord, for you that would be pleasing and honoring unto you? I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I appreciate you. And so when you're that child and you're seeking to please that parent, you're trying to do all that they have required of you to do to the best of your ability. And when that parent sees that, whatever that looks like, I want you to get a hold of that. Whatever that looks like for you, my ability and your ability may not be the same. We may not be at the same level, but my effort and my mindset and how I go about it and what I'm trying to do, God is looking down on that. He has respect to that. He is pleased with that. And he will be blessed. He will be pleased when we've given him our all. May the Lord help us this morning. And so be followers of God as dear children. Stop trying to see what you can get away with and still be saved. Want me to say that again? Stop seeing what you can try to get away with and still be saved. Lord, what would you have me to do? That's it right there. I want to say something to you because there's a fear, and I get it. I've had this too. I had to deal with it. May the Lord help us. But there's a fear that if I go all out for God, it's not going to be no fun. There's no excitement. There's no joy. I'm telling you, the liar is a liar still, and that's what he's doing to you. I'm having all the fun I can stand and more. And there's plenty of challenges and plenty of things to keep it interesting. All right? And so don't let the enemy do you like that. And then anything he calls you to do, he's going to equip you to do and then be with you and make sure you're able to do it. See, he ain't got to worry about that even. May the Lord help us. Some of us, it's hard. We just say, Lord, I'm just going to just be saved a little bit. That's how we feel. I'm being honest this morning. Let me be more honest. I've been there, done that. Lord, if I just serve you, just let me see. What's the least amount I can do and still be saved? Because I don't want you calling me to no ministry. Let me tell you, he ain't going to call everybody to the ministry. He ain't got to worry about that. Can you imagine all of us in the pulpit preaching at the same time? Who are we going to preach to? Ain't going to work, is it? Somebody got to be in the audience. Somebody got to do some other things too, so you ain't got to worry about that. What you have to worry about is being pleasing and honoring unto God one day at a time. And as he deal and work with your heart, start there. God will bless you. He'll help you. May the Lord help us this morning. I'm almost finished. Appreciate your time, your prayers, your attention. I went out of town and preached a short one, y'all. Wish y'all was there. Anyways, I thought I was going to do it this morning, but I don't have much more to go. Y'all keep praying for me. I want to go to heaven. I want to be pleasing and honoring to God. I want you to be encouraged as well. Let's go to James 1 and 22. It says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. We have the ability as people to deceive our own selves. Now, a lot of times we talk about the deceiver, and he is a deceiver. The enemy of all souls is a liar, the father there, father of him, right? We know that. But we also have the ability to trick our own selves. And I'll tell you one thing that we're good at, and I've said this before, is we can justify just about anything if we want to. We really can. And so we need God to help us to stop talking about it and be about it. Stop all that talking. You know a lot about it. That's good. But if your life ain't what you talking about, if you ain't there, then spend some more time on your knees asking the Lord to get you to where what you talking about is what you doing. Because you're going to do way more good living right than talking about it. May the Lord help us. It's hard, and it seems rude the way I'm saying it, but it's just true. I don't know how else to say it. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So we can hear it, we can know it, we can understand it, and we can tell somebody else about it. But if we're not doing it, then what good is it? Amen. If it ain't good enough for you to do, if it ain't good enough for me to do, why would I do it? You see? So it's the life that precedes the words, not the words preceding the life. May the Lord help us. May the Lord stand by and be with us this morning. We are to promote Christ in word and deed. I'm talking about what's going to help us to make our calling and election sure. He's already made the call. Revelations 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice? Open the door. I'll come in with him. I'll sup with him. I'll make my abode with him. So the call is already there. There's already many scriptures about how many are called and few are chosen. Those are all, we already know that. Even as children, we felt the call of God on our lives. We've seen the disparity and the contrast between right and wrong. When the bully was bullying us, we didn't like that. We knew that was wrong. Nobody has to tell you that being bullied is wrong. Right? Nobody has to tell you that. Even as children. When somebody takes something they ain't supposed to take, what do you say? Ooh. Don't you? Because we know that there is right and there is wrong. And we know that right matters. We know that. And so the call has been, since we was little old children, the call has been there. All right? And so it's about answering the call. And then once we have answered the call, living in a way that when we see him, that he's pleased with what we have done. And it takes a day-to-day walk with the Lord. All right. And so many are called, few are chosen. All right. One more scripture, and then I'm gonna finish up. I'm not going to get to all I wanted to get to. But that's all right. I believe we got to something that can help us. And if the Lord give us some more on that, we'll do it later on. Somebody go with me to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 12. I want to talk about the things that we need to do. We talked about what we don't do. We talked about what we need to do. This is another do. This is something that we need to do. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12.
Let no man despise thy youth.
All right.
But be thou an example
of the believer.
All right. In word.
All right. All right.
In charity,
all right.
In spirit,
okay.
In faith, in purity.
Amen. So let no man despise your youth, but be an example. I want to talk about being an example. Yeah. Be an example of the believers. And so some people say, well, I'm too young to live for the Lord. That's what this is talking about when it says, let no man despise your youth.
Right. Right.
The Bible wants you, the Lord wants you to get saved when you're young. If you can get saved when you're young, you can do more good for the Lord, and you can avoid a whole lot of bad that you would encounter.
Amen.
May the Lord help us. And so don't despise your youth. If your child come to you and they 4 years old and they say, I want to get saved, you better pray with them. Lord might have been dealing with them. Now, they're going to live a four-year-old salvation, which is going to look different than somebody that's older. But they can be saved at 4 years old. They can. Because God deals with young people. He wants us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. He wants us to do that. And how he does that is he calls on our hearts at a young age. It's about answering the call. Now, the problem is the call that we're hearing is not the only call that is being made. Are you with me? God is calling, but the world is calling too. The enemy of all souls is calling too. And self is in the way. And so we have to be careful to answer the right call. May the Lord help us this morning. He said, be an example of the believer. And all of these things, when you're an example, you're not just saying it, you're showing how it's done. All right? The Lord wants you to show. So if you don't say nothing, matter of fact, you can literally say nothing and somebody can look at how you're living and understand that, you know what? That's a child of God. They just got cussed up one side and down the other, and they just said, Lord, help them, and loved them anyway, and kept on going. Now, I told you now, this is Christ in you. I don't advise you trying to do it without Christ. You ain't going to be able to do it. But with Christ in us, we can do literally the impossible. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Even the things that seem impossible. All right? And so what God wants is for us to be an example. It says, be the example of the believers. If you truly believe something, then you ain't just talking about it. You're going to do it. All right? But to the best of your ability, whatever that may look like. All right? Believers, in word, what you talk about, in your conversation, in charity. Charity is not just having love, but it's giving it. Right? What we talked about a few weeks ago. It's not enough to have it. You got to give it. What good is it if you're just hoarding it and keeping it to yourself? Give it away. Let somebody else know about it. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to others. In spirit, your very spirit should be changed. In faith, in purity, believing in God and staying right before the Lord. That's what that purity is talking about. May the Lord help us. Song number 191, verse number 2, what does it say? Talking about the surety now, the guarantee. All right. What a blessed hope is this? An anchor to the soul. If we do our Savior's will, we'll safely reach the goal. Yes, we'll trust him while we live. We'll trust him when we die. And then when all our work is done, will reign with him on high. So I'm going to talk about an surety very briefly. We talked about it throughout the deal, but I want us to understand, going back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, it talks about giving diligence. What does diligence mean? Every once in a while, am I correct? Every third day. Huh? Every day your eyes open, by the help of the Lord, you're going to read that scripture, verse number 10, please.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you.
All right, and so is that the Second Peter? I'm sorry, Second Peter 1 and 10 is what we want, please. It says here, yes. Wherefore the rather, brethren? Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. You can pause there. So giving diligence, what diligence means is daily. Putting forth a great effort to make sure that Christ and his way is your number one priority. Every day you wake up, you want to let the Lord know, Lord, I thank you for giving me another day. Thank you for blessing me through yesterday and all that you've done for us. But Lord, today, my number one priority, if I don't get anything else right today, I want to get right today the fact that I'm a child of the King and I'm going to live like that. I'm going to walk like that. I'm going to talk like that by your help, by your grace, and by your mercy. That's the number one thing for me every day I wake up. That's what diligence looks like. Every single day, even throughout the day, when the enemy come against us, when self get in the way, when the world come against us, when the difficulties of life crop up and would discourage and disappoint us, Lord, I still want to please you. Lord, I still want to live for you. Give me grace, Lord. Give me strength, Lord. Help me to battle on and find power through by your grace and help and mercy. That's what diligence is all about. May the Lord help us. We're doing this on a daily basis. We're careful. We take care. We're persistent. It's ongoing. It's continuous effort and work by the grace and help of God. We're talking about making sure that we have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. May the Lord help us this morning. All right, now, this is the last portion of the message. I appreciate again your time, your attention, your prayers for me. I think it's a coincidence that that would happen right now, don't you? Isn't that strange? I done preached the what's the name on. Lord help us. All right, the Lord is good to us. We not worried about no fire extinguisher. So, I had a situation, my wife and I, we went on a trip recently, and I got to the gate. It was myself, my wife, and my two boys. We were going to California to visit family. Got to the gate, and they said, so I had already put my bags in, and I got to the TSA, and I got up there, and they said, wait a minute, something ain't right here. So they looked at my ID, they looked at the ticket, and things weren't matching up. You with me? And so my wife and them, they had already went on. Matter of fact, my wife said she turned around, I wasn't there. And I ain't say nothing. They said, go over here and go talk to the ticket agent and see if we can get this fixed. And so I'm over there, and I'm talking to the ticket agent. And there was a discrepancy. It wasn't on their end. It was on our end. But the Lord knows about that. We're human. And so I was there, and I was trying to get. I was trying to make it, and time was winding down. My wife, bless her heart, she calling me. I want to go too. I want to be there. She calling me, but I'm trying to talk to the guy, and everything is going on all at the same time. It's getting hectic, and time is winding down. May the Lord help us. Calling an election sure. You got the right ticket?
Help us, Lord.
Is your name enrolled in the Lamb Book of Life?
Help us, Lord.
When we come before the judgment?
Yes.
Is it close? Because what happened was, it was real close. It was a spelling error. And it was real close to what it needed to be, but it wasn't exactly right. You see? And so they couldn't let that go. And so what ended up happening was, it wasn't on them, it was on me. May the Lord help us. And so we can't afford to have something wrong with our ticket. Another point is I noticed that my family was very, do you know your family going to be very concerned about you in the day of judgment? And they're hoping and they're praying that you made it in. Oh, it's getting serious now, is it not? It's getting serious now, because sometime what's going to happen at the day of judgment is mama and daddy, they might go, but sister and brother, they may not make it. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Calling an election sure. Something that you know.
Yes.
How do you do that? You start today.
Yes.
You ain't sure today. You know you're not sure. When you go to bed at night, it tells you every time. Because when you go to bed, you say, Lord, help me make it through the night, Lord. Right?
Lord.
And so they're looking for me. They don't see me. They're calling me. And there's an issue there. And I don't want that to be like that in the day of judgment.
Right.
And so we were separated. And it ended up good. The discrepancy. And this is the point. The discrepancy was a small discrepancy, but it was enough to keep me from going.
Yes.
And so we got that thing handled in time to make it on in. And I come through that door, and I did like this. That's how I do my family. and they looked up and they got all happy and gave me a hug. You see what I'm saying? But we don't want it to be, we don't want it to be unclear. We don't want to be sure. We don't want to be unsure. We want to be sure. Lord, help us. And so what we do is we make our calling and our election sure on this side of eternity. I got one more thing to say. I'm going to sit down. And I really am going to sit down. As I was trying to get my ticket situation squared away, there were, believe it or not, people showing up behind me on the same flight. You think they got in? Do you think they got in? Not one of them got in. You know how they was acting? They want to cuss the ticket agent out. Did you know that you need to be at the airport and checked in 45 minutes before the flight? Read the instructions of what it tells you to do. If you're not sure about it, be there 2 hours early just in case. If there be any discrepancy, you can get that handled then. But they was abusing the ticket agent. He didn't make the rules. The rules have already been made. You see, the rules for my salvation and my deliverance have already been made. We got a whole book about them, what we need to do and what we don't need to do. It's a whole book about it. And we can't get mad. And you know that they said it's going to be like that in the judgment. Folks going to be coming up yelling at God and cursing God and saying all these things. And he's going to do like this. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. May the Lord help us. And so it did no good to be cursing the ticket agent and be mad at them. The rules are already set. And if we're going to make it in, we've got to make our calling and our election sure. May the Lord help us this morning. I hope that this message will do something for you. I'm sure that there's someone that may be in need this morning. And all you have to do is acknowledge you got that need. And meet the Lord where he is and begin from this day forward to make your calling and your election sure. If you get there late, if you got the wrong ticket, if there's some kind of discrepancy, you're not going to make it in. May the Lord help us this morning. I desire your prayers.